Well, today we're continuing our journey as we head full steam into a new year, looking at new opportunities and perhaps some new perspective, and seeking to find maybe a place in this new year. And I don't know about you, but I have goals this year. I have things I want to accomplish and some desires on my heart, and I don't necessarily call them resolutions. Perhaps they are in a technical sense, but really they're just some things that I've set my sights on and my eyes focused on in order to accomplish. And I'm going to share maybe some of them with you over the course of last week, going into a couple more weeks as we journey together. And maybe some of the things that I'm working through and some of the goals that I have, or well, maybe there's some of the goals that you have as well. We talked last week about being in prayer, that this new year being in prayer, which simply speaks and points to the idea of communicating with God, seeking that He might commune with us, and indeed He's faithful to do that. And what a miracle and a blessing and a privilege it is indeed to pray. And we drew scripture last week from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when He approaches the Father, knowing the heavy weight that was before Him that He had to bear, but yet, indeed, He was faithful to respond. But yet, before, He prayed. He prayed. And so in response to the task was an opportunity of our Lord to pray, reminding us, too, that we must pray. And so this week, we turn our attention to another passage, this time in the book of Psalms. And here in Psalms, we find a rich language in Psalm 46, rich language that speaks to the heart of the writer in a wonderful way, and it speaks to my heart. It speaks to my heart. And I think the lesson that we draw from this psalm that we're going to discover together is to be still. Because just as much as I want to be in prayer this year, I want to be still. I want to pause and I want to be able to reflect. I'm a person that is kind of high strung. I have a lot of anxiety. I have a lot of things I have to work through and think through all the time. It's just the way that I'm made. And so Psalm 46 is a very special psalm for me because it speaks to the idea of just being still, of just resting, of just even for a moment pausing, but yet more than a moment, making it a part of who I am, being able to just be still. Join me in Psalm chapter number 43 today, or 46, the 46th Psalm today. The 46th Psalm. It's 11 verses long, and I think you will find portions of it familiar. The psalmist writes these words, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Father, we are grateful for your word today, and as we gather in this place and we seek to learn through and by your Holy Spirit, indeed, would you encourage our hearts? Would you make way something new for us today? Let us be still in this moment. Let us be still with you. Oh, Father, we can be still because indeed you are faithful. And in all that we say and do, let us be found faithful in our response to you. It's in the wonderful and holy name of our Lord that we pray today. Amen. I love this psalm because it's a psalm that speaks to the tragedy that often can go on in our world. That when we view and we take survey and we see all the destruction, that indeed our God says, be still. Be still. I think that there are portions, and really the whole psalm, that it's almost this rally cry, this triumphant victory call that is given, almost as if a world leader is standing before his or her people and making proclamation, almost as if Churchill or Kennedy or Reagan or a number of other leaders stood before the people and in triumphant grandeur makes proclamation. Verse 3 is particularly poignant in this way. It says, therefore we will not fear. Indeed, we will not fear because he is God. Indeed, we will not fear because we have within us a living and a breathing spirit that is the God of creation. Therefore, we will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge. Our refuge. The great Reformation leader Martin Luther, who 500 years ago led a movement which absolutely changed Christianity, which absolutely altered the response that we were giving to God at the time. So moved Martin Luther was by God that he made everything that he did about the living and breathing God. Everything was motivated by him. So moved by this psalm that he composed a wonderful hymn. It's one that is in the 1989 printing of our Church of God hymnal as well. And that is called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Moved by the words of this psalm in order to proclaim and in order to send forth a message that says that God is a refuge, therefore we shall not fear. And indeed, we stand today through and by this refrain of this psalm. A refrain that speaks over and over again to the chaos and to the calm and to the confidence. To the chaos, to the calm, and to the confidence. Over and over again, the refrain is told to us that surrounding us is desert land. That surrounding us is earthquake, is flood, is danger, is heartbreak, is headache. But indeed, our God remains a present help in time of trouble. Indeed, we shall not fear. because he is a stronghold. Notice where the writer says, God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Indeed, we see this narrative of chaos presented for us. Notice the turmoil that is present here. The earth gives way. The mountains move into the heart of the sea. The waters roar and they foam. The mountains, they tremble. This verse could very well depict an actual earthquake that has occurred. We read about in Amos 1:1 where there's an earthquake that has happened. And Amos says that during this period of time is when this body of work is being composed. We think as well of the tragic events at Pompeii as Mount Vesuvius erupted, killing thousands of people in an instant, covering the city with ash. And it says that there were these bursts of heat that would go out, killing people instantly. A horrific, horrific scene occurring in AD 79. We think as well in 1980 when Mount St. Helens in Washington State erupts. And indeed, leaving behind a devastation, indeed taking lives as well. Or perhaps the rushing water. Amos records this as well, talking about the rushing water in 5:8. We think of a tsunami, huh? We think of the horrific tsunami that came to the Indian Ocean in 2004, killing thousands and thousands of people as the floodwaters rushed through. Helpless individuals had nowhere to go, being swept up by the waters and life being taken. Perhaps these are not literal acts that the writer is speaking about. Perhaps the psalmist is speaking about metaphorical things. Perhaps he's pointing to social or cultural or religious unrest. Indeed, we have the same for us today. We can look around and see the chaos that is all around us. Images of earthquakes and high waves or community unease or personal problems. Something is stirring the heart of the psalmist to pen these words. He's troubled. He's concerned. He sees chaos. I've experienced a wave or two in my life, huh? I've experienced the heartbreak of an earthquake in my life. I know that you have as well. Seeing the chaos that is existing all around you, and yet being able to respond as the psalmist challenges us to be still and to know that I am God. You see, chaos is no respecter of person. If you're living and breathing, it's cause enough to be in chaos at times. The psalmist in these two verses tells us that chaos, perhaps globally for him, but most certainly personally, something has triggered the heart of this writer. Something has troubled him. Something as he looks around and just sees all the destruction. But yet be still and know. Writing there in 4 through 7, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High God in the midst. And God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This metaphorical language that is presented to us here, speaking to the calmness that God is able to bring. Why? Because He is the Lord of hosts. It's meant to counter the chaos that He's just shared with us, from roaring waters to streams, which imply a peacefulness that has entered. From the raging ocean to the calming seashore, as the writer sits and ponders the calmness of his Lord. You see, the stream is something very peaceful, isn't it? If you've ever taken a walk in the wilderness somewhere or out in the woods somewhere and you pass a stream, we used to have a stream in the neighborhood where I grew up, and you would walk along into the woods and you would have this stream that would just gently flow along its way. I'm a very reflective person, and even as a child, this is true of me, and I would go just to sit by the stream, just to be calm, just to be still. That when everything else might be raging around, the stream is calm, and the stream is peaceful. Notice the language of God's presence with His people. God is in her midst. Shifting again to the chaos, only to display God's authority again. The nations made an uproar, and then it says that God raised His voice. It doesn't mean that God shouted. It means that God spoke above the noise. That is very authority. That is very nature, that is very ability, that in the season of chaos, that in the midst of despair, that during all the tragedy, that while the nations rage forward, that God speaks above all of the chaos, above all of the uproar. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. In the midst of chaos, God brings calm to His people. Writing in verse 8, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The writer closes this passage with confidence, with confidence. Through chaos, God brings calm that we might have confidence, both in Him and in the circumstances of life. Notice the invitation that He provides, saying there in verse 8, "Come, behold the works of God." Come. As if writing you an invitation, sending it in the mail, inviting you, come, join, and behold the works of God. You see, the psalmist is convinced that those who see will be convinced as well. He's convinced that those that also are living in chaos, that when they see, that when they witness, that when they come, they too will have the same confidence that he has. You see, the psalmist is proud to call God his God. Are you proud to call God your God? I love our son James so much. All my children I love. James has recently taken to Legos. All of our children enjoy Legos, and Harrison, he has a good time with them as well, but his motor skills are not quite there yet to be able to do it. But James is. And he has his own Legos because his brother is like his father. He doesn't like to share things. So he has his own Legos, and he has a box of Legos. And every day, James will bring his box of Legos into the living room, and he will sit down when it's quiet time in the house. My wife has times when it's quiet time, and that means that she's not to be messed with for an hour during the day. And I think it's a healthy and a good thing. Sometimes I come home during quiet time, and she says, "Shh, don't speak to me right now. I'm not interested in you." But James goes into the front room, and he builds his Legos, and he's rather good at it. For a little boy that will be 6 in May, he's able to have dimension to them, and he was building something this week that had a couple different layers to it, and he had steps, and he was just so incredibly proud of it that we didn't even take it down. We were able to take it into pieces and take it into his room because he wanted to continue the next week to build this thing. He was so proud of it. And I got home this week on Thursday afternoon, and I came in, and he was in the front room, and he was building his Legos, and I said, what are you doing, James? He said, "Building, look and see." And I came down there, and I began to look, and he began to show me all of the pieces of this. So proud. He was so proud of what he had created, that what he had formed and fashioned with his own little hands. He was so very proud of it, and he wanted to make sure that I saw, and that his mama saw, and that his siblings saw it. And he didn't want to tear it down. He wanted to keep it as it were. He's still working on it. So proud. And indeed, the psalmist is proud of his God. And he speaks of his God in such a way as to say, "You come and you behold." Just the same as we're proud about things too. Just the same as James is proud about what he has done. And what he has. The psalmist is proud about his God. And the psalmist wants the reader to come and to see God's majesty. Behold his works. I invite you. He promotes the confidence of God by quoting God himself. Verse 10 is God speaking. Do you see that? The testimony throughout Psalm 46 is the writer telling you about what God has done, telling you about the chaos, telling you about all of this. Excuse me. But then in verse 10 tells us, "Be still." God is speaking. "Be still and know that I am God." The NASB tells us to cease striving. To cease striving, as if we're working towards something, as if we're trying to earn the measure, as if we're trying to fit all of the pieces together on our own. The writer says, "Be still, cease striving, stop what you're doing, halt for the moment, be still and know that I am God." Sometimes that word is associated in a negative way, as if to lose courage. We find this in 2 Samuel 4:1. But here it's promoted in the positive. The phrase quite literally means relax and put your hands down. We might be tempted to throw a punch. But he says, "Do not fight." We might be tempted to go ahead and barrel down and get it done, but he says, "Remove your hands. Be still. Be still." In context, this phrase means stop trying to bring calm in chaos apart from me. Stop trying to bring calm in chaos apart from me. It is absolutely impossible, the writer is saying, to bring peace into the situation apart from God. So therefore, just be still and let God be God. In the midst of chaos, God remains God. There is no threat. There is no endangerment. There is no anything that matches God. The psalmist is confident in God. Furthermore, he's confident because of God. Repeating that refrain of confidence, God is our refuge and our strength, a present help in trouble. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Verses 7 and 11, telling us some things about God. He's approachable. He's loving. He's an avenger. And he's for his people. He's always for you. He's always for you. Always for you. The language is intimate. The language, it tells us something about God. It tells us indeed that He is a friend. That indeed He is a Savior. That indeed He is a firm foundation. That in the midst of chaos, that in the midst of destruction, that in the midst of things that violate us every single day, God remains. Now, I don't know what the psalmist had in mind when penning these words. I don't know if it was literal events that occurred, like earthquakes and floods. I don't know if there was something personal that was happening in the life of the individual. I don't know what inspired Martin Luther to take the words of Psalm 46 and to pen that classic hymn, "A Mighty God is Our Fortress." But I do know what the psalm means for us today. I do know the value of it today, because in our world today is still chaos, is still corruption, is still evidence of brokenness. Just a short list for you, huh? Suicide bombers, church misconduct, distrust in government, human trafficking, broken marriages, unrest in homes, people lying, people cheating, people raping, people murdering. From top to bottom, the world is broken. And chaos is all around us. Everything seems to be in turmoil and haunts us and hinders us and misleads us and misdirects us and stifles us and ruins us and kills us. But there is good news. There is good news because the writer speaks of the refuge that is his God. He remains a strong tower. He remains a place of comfort. He remains a place that provides for us the firmest of foundations. And while everything else is falling down around us, and as we look and we say, I don't know how to handle this, the answer is provided in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Jesus speaks similar words. Matthew writes, in Matthew chapter 11, at that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord, in heaven and earth, that you have not hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, come to me. all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me that I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he's the same tomorrow. You can be still in him. You can find refuge in him, the firmest of foundations. I implore you and I invite you this year to make note, as I am, of being still in God, of being still with God, of being still by God. Why? Because he is refuge, because he is faithful, because he is wonderful, because he is foundation, because he is God. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, if you would, today, and as the team leads us in song, invitation, and invite has been extended, just as the psalmist extends an invite to come and to pray, to come and to see the works of God, to come and behold the majesty of it all, to come and witness something wonderful. I invite you to come and to see what the Lord has done. To come and behold, to come and find rest, to come and to be still. You say, I don't know how to be still. I got so much going on. Well, ask God. Ask God to reveal that to you. Ask him, say, God, I need for you to break me and my habits of doing and fixing and trying to get my hands around it. Oh, I want to do that. All the time. All the time I want to be able to just grab a hold of it and change it and fix it. And in the context of this beautiful psalm, the writer says you've got to take your hands off of it. Not because I say so, but because God says be still. That's a command, do you know? That's a command to be still and to know that I am God. And apart from me, apart from me is chaos, but with me is calm and confidence. As we sing today, I implore you and invite you to an altar of prayer. If you're seeking calmness today, if you're seeking confidence, if you're seeking in the midst of the chaos for God just to bring healing, I invite you to come today. Come and pray with us.